afternoon. My name is Deshanta, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Oracle Database Appliance Reference Forum. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Mamich, you may begin your conference.
Thanks very much. And again, welcome to the Oracle Database Appliance Reference Forum. Our host today is David Bannister, who is Senior Manager of Infrastructure and Operations at Aon eSolutions. David's going to take a few minutes to give us an overview of, tell us a little bit about Aon and his experience with the database appliance to date. David, on behalf of all of today's callers, thanks so much for taking time to host the call. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlotte. So Charlotte mentioned, my name is David Bannister, Senior Manager of Infrastructure Operations here at Aon eSolutions. We develop and host a number of risk management platforms, mainly around data aggregation and reporting, to where we pull data from multiple sources for our clients and allow them to view it all in a single pane of glass. We have a primary a product known as Risk Console, which again is a data aggregation and reporting tool. We have 350 clients globally, and it's a 24/7 operation using a SaaS model. It's fairly high traffic. We have about 20,000 unique visitors a day, really runs on what our primary solutioning for, from a database perspective, which is Oracle Rack. Right now, it's until recently, it's been a purely 100% U.S. based solution. So all hosted within the U.S. In our Atlanta data center, and production runs on a 12-node Rack cluster right here. We have multiple local and physical remote standbys that we use for data protection and disaster recovery environments. But again, everything has historically been located within the U.S. This kind of gave us an issue when dealing with our EU clients and trying to sell to clients within the European Union, because they have fairly stringent data privacy laws, and they have a number of concerns with the Patriot Act. In particular within the U.S. Basically, they don't like the idea of a third party, in this case being the U.S. government, being able to look at EU citizens' personal information. So really what it boils down to for them is the physical location of the data. So from our perspective, in order to continue to do business with EU clients, we made the decision to stand up a brand new data center within the EU. So it was basically ground up, brand new data center, and we need to basically replicate our Risk Console environment, which again in the U.S. is a 12-node Rack cluster. From the ground up, we need to stand that up within the EU. When we went to cost this out, we came to some it turned out that it was going to be a very significant investment up front, somewhere in the order of $500,000 in hardware, and then somewhere around $800,000 in software, including licensing and everything. And a large portion of that cost was in, obtaining redundant storage arrays. Obviously, we need to provide DR within our European environment as well. Purchasing multiple redundant SAN fabrics, redundant interconnects, everything you need to make a highly available Oracle Rack cluster using common components. So really, it kind of coincided, maybe a few months prior, the Oracle Data Appliance had been announced, and we'd seen a little about it. But when we really looked at the solution and what it provided, it really fit our requirements. It was a great fit. Basically, it's a Rack cluster in a box. It comes with its own storage, so we don't have to buy a SAN array. Or a SAN and an array, and really allows us, it's basically our, all of our database infrastructure in one box that we can just plug in and move on. So we did move forward and purchased four ODAs for our Risk Console European instance, brought our hardware cost down from $550,000 or thereabouts down to $200,000, and our software cost was cut in half by taking advantage of the pay-as-you-grow licensing model. We actually lock some of the CPU cores on those devices, and we only have to actually license what we choose to use for database. So significant upfront savings by going with the ODA model, but you know, as well as some really I guess some value adds in the form of, you know, reduced complexity. We just have one vendor in the mix. You know, we don't have to go and chase down, you know, SAN Fabric vendor or storage array vendor for performance issues. Simplified implementation and management. We had these things now that, you know, we've done it a number of times, obviously. We can deploy an ODA from racking and cabling to have it serving a database created, provisioned everything within one business day, which, you know, is a heck of a lot quicker than I can do it with commodity servers and storage allocations involving multiple resources. One of the other benefits that we got through this solution was because we purchased an ODA for UAT, an ODA for production, and an ODA for DR, I can run one command against each ODA, and it will basically spit out a version number, and that will sum up the firmware level, the OS patch set level, the database configuration, grid infrastructure patch set, basically verify that the level of software I'm running in my UAT environment where regression testing is done exactly matches that in production. And then the same can be said of DR. So there's a really some added benefits we got by going with the engineered solution model. We're live now in the EU. We actually have clients on that hosted system. They're happy that they have their data in the EU, and we're actually very happy that we're able to do it with significantly reduced upfront costs. That's pretty much our story around, you know, how we ended up with Oracle Database Appliances. We certainly will continue to do this as we roll out into new locations. We're looking at doing that in Singapore right now and maybe some other locations as well. And we will definitely continue to roll out ODAs wherever they fit.
Right. David, could you talk a little bit about the patching? How is that with ODA?
Yes, it's actually it's simplified. It's very easy to do. You basically get one file, if you will, from Oracle support, load that onto the box, and it really is literally a one-line command to apply that patch. It does take down each instance as it patches. I think there's more to come on maintaining availability, but, you know, we have a maintenance window, so basically just run that command and it patches everything out. So a lot simpler and a lot more peace of mind when you're done that, you know, everything was patched appropriately, right? There's verification steps built into the deployment process that tell you that, yes, this patch has been applied and you're on patch level, you know, X.
Right. Thank you. Thanks so much for that overview. That was outstanding. And I will now ask the operator to, again, open lines for Q&A. And if you could remind everyone what the process is, I'd appreciate it.
As a reminder, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
David, I did have a question that came in earlier when we were scheduling the forum, and that's, what's the usefulness of the preloaded ODA monitoring software?
So there's a couple different things going on, or a couple of things that we chose to implement. One, obviously, we're running Oracle Enterprise Manager, so obviously we put an agent on there to manage it that way. But for hardware level monitoring is probably what's being referred to there, and that's automatic service request or ASR. That's basically a little software module that runs within the OS of the server nodes, and it's basically pulling back to the ILOM or the integrated lights out management interface, which is kind of a hardware monitoring. So say because it, you know, the box includes you know, the storage, the hard drives, and all the other kind of components, that will actually detect an issue with the hardware and then automatically connect to Oracle support and create an SR for that to be either replaced in the case of a failed drive or maybe, you know, schedule a technician to look at the hardware ILOM dumps. If we're...
Great, thank you.
Do you have questions in queue? Your first question comes from the line of Ned Ravetti with INSER.
Okay, so what system, I guess, what was hosting your Oracle database prior to your initial sites, and are there any performance hits that you got from moving on to the ODA at the European sites?
Yeah, so we're still hosting within the U.S. for our U.S.-based customers, so that 12-node Oracle Rack cluster is alive and well here in the U.S. serving our U.S. customers, and so the stand-up within the EU was brand new, right? We didn't have anything out there. So we're basically running the same application, but, you know, depending on which, you know, what client you are and, you know, where you're logging in from, it will, you know, you'll be redirected to the EU site. As far as performance goes, we haven't seen any difference, you know, between U.S. and European risk consoles. They both behave the same way. They both perform just as well as each other. And we really haven't run across, although, you know, obviously we're in the early stages, but we haven't run across any performance issues whatsoever.
What did you say the hardware was that was running the U.S. operations?
It's actually it's commodity Linux servers, so it's basically two socket Intel, you know, x86 servers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's apples to apples for us, and that's what really made the transition very easy. Was we were already running, you know, at the time, Red Hat 5, and, you know, the Oracle Database Appliance runs Oracle Linux 5, and, you know, it was a very natural transition for us. Yeah.
Okay. Also, I mean, what kind of bandwidth requirement are you guys seeing for the replication between the two sites?
Yeah. So it really depends on load. Here in the U.S., you know, we have an 80 meg circuit. We probably use about half of that. Within the EU, you know, it's getting more and more. We're actually just we initially started with a 10 meg circuit between sites, and we're just getting ready to double that. So. It will increase as we load it up, and we've just kind of designed the infrastructure to scale with it.
How much data do you have in your environment?
Within the EU, I want to say we're looking at about 300 to 400 gig, I think, is about where we stand today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Thaya Gajwaran Rama, NBC Universal.
Hi. Can you explain to me how you maintain this ODA? Being in, like, appliance, do you have, like, compute and database team supports it, or one team supports this unit?
Yeah, so initially, you know, we try to come at it with a combined approach. Obviously, we have server administrators that do the racking and cabling. They provide the IPs and DNS entries. And then once that's done, they basically hand that information off to the DBA team. And then really from that point on, unless there's a hardware issue, the DBA team is able to basically run everything from there, and that includes, you know, the initial imaging of the device, installing the OS, installing the database software. All of that is really done through a wizard-driven kind of GUI application that you run when you provision the box, and the DBA is able to run with all of that. Post-deploy, there's really nothing that our server administrators need to be involved in, again, unless there's actually an issue with the hardware and a drive needs to be replaced. So for us, these boxes are on the other side of the world. We don't have staff in that data center. and we're able to do everything we need to do completely remotely.
Okay, thank you. Is it a ODA software 2.5 or 2.4?
2.4 is what we're currently running right now in our environment.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Gautam Chakara, NBC Universal.
Hi. Actually, we are just in the phase of rolling out these ODAs. And right now what I see is that we have a two-step process, that it comes with a firmware 2.4 and we have to manually upgrade it 2.5. So what will be, can I expect the new ODAs that will come will be 2.5 firmware?
Yeah, so you know what you get out of the box from my experience, we've actually in total we've purchased 8 of these devices, and really you never know what you're going to get installed onto the box. I guess it depends on when it was built or shipped from the factory. So what we've been doing is just basically imaging the boxes as we get them, just to make sure we're starting in the right place. Some upgrades have been cumulative. And some have been, consecutive to where you have to deploy one version and then upgrade it to the next. So it's been a little different, you know, case by case. I guess they're still ironing that stuff out. But once you're to the level that you want to be at, it's very easy to determine that, and then also to compare that across environments is really the kind of the benefit that we've seen. So the road may be a little different to get there, in other words, but once you're there, you know where you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, operator, could you just remind everyone one last time how to ask a question?
Again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Okay, that looks
okay,
like...
you do have a question from Randy Heiter with Oracle.
Hi, David. This is Randy Heiter. I'm actually on the product management team with OTA. Just wanted to clarify, you're running 4 OTA systems in the EU location?
Oh, we actually have 7 in the EU and 1 stateside.
I see. Good. So 8 total OTA units.
Yes. Yeah, and another purchase in flight, actually, for an additional unit.
Okay.
Within the EU, yeah.
And can you clarify one other thing for me? I know that part of the motivation in standing up this system in Europe is to keep the data, the European customer data, physically in Europe. So can that be run? Does it have to be in each physical country, or can it be just in an EU member's country?
Yeah, so it's actually within any EU member. They're friendly within the EU.
Got it.
It's outside of that to where it becomes an issue.
Okay. And then it's the risk console that you're running on the OTA environment. Any other applications being run on it?
Yeah, so we have an in development kind of portal application within Aon that is yet to be launched, and that will end up on an ODA. It's actually within the UAT stage right now, and that it's running on an ODA, and we have an ODA ready for production when it goes live as well.
Okay, that sounds good.
So that one, we started out with the risk console. We kind of built the solution out, and then midway through deploying that, we were approached about hosting this portal app, and the ODA just seemed like a great fit for the use case. That was basically get it off the ground for as little money as possible and give us room to grow within it. So,
and you're running you're hosting 20,000 users a day on the European system?
No, that's actually, those are U.S. numbers. The European system has just gone live, so it's
a little less.
Obviously less than that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next question is from Ned Rizicki with INSEER.
So what would have been your alternative solution if the ODA was not available? Did you look at any other vendors or any other combinations of the hardware to set up this, European site?
Yeah, so I mean, our natural response when we were approached about sizing this out was basically just to replicate what we have here in the U.S., which would have been commodity to your servers, probably a mid-tier array, a modular array of some sort, and redundant SAN fabric. So our initial reaction was just to replicate what we'd already done in the U.S., which actually turned out to be quite expensive.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, in the U.S., this isn't the only thing we're hosting. It's not the only thing we're doing. So we have a lot of investments that we've already made and we can take advantage of when we want to add capacity to our existing data center. But when you actually look at standing up a brand new space from the ground up, it's amazing all of the different components that you find yourself, you know, you have to buy it basically from the ground up.
Now, I mean, how many users would you say are accessing your system concurrently at any given time? I mean, is there like a ballpark number that you could throw at us?
Within the EU or within the U.S.?
Within the U.S. and EU, so separately.
Yeah, so I mean, within the U.S., probably, you know, I would say maybe 200 or 300 concurrently, and then within the EU, it's probably in somewhere south of 100, maybe 50 to 100.
Okay. And so the 300 gigs of data, was that for the Europe or was that for your U.S.?
Yeah, no, that's the European instance.
How about
again?
For the U.S.?
You know, yeah, the U.S. is 15 terabytes.
15 terabytes. Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, but I'm curious. You have replication set up where you guys are, I guess, replicating the data back and forth between the two sites?
No. Yeah, see, that's the compliance issue.
Okay, so
really
you can't have that.
Yeah, so we have to have all of the European data. So we have two data sites in the EU. Each has an ODA, and they replicate between themselves. But no data crosses the Atlantic Ocean. That's a huge deal breaker from a compliance standpoint.
So then what's the bandwidth requirement for the replication between your replication sites that you've noticed?
Well, so for the EU, you know, we've got a fairly small data set. So, I mean, again, we're moving from 10 to 20 meg. Between the EU sites, and obviously that'll grow, you know, over time as we add clients, as we migrate European clients that have compliance concerns, as we migrate them to that, that's going to grow. But in the U.S., for the size we are in the U.S., you know, it's somewhere between 40 and 80 meg, depending on the, you know, just the type of workload.
Okay, that's with like 15 terabytes of data, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, you know, how data intensive your app is. I can tell you that when we stood up the ODA, restoring the copy to the standbys is, you know, extremely fast. We didn't notice any slowdown or anything like that, but just using a basic RMAN restore. So I really don't have any real concerns that the standby will be able to keep up with production or that you know, database performance is going to be an issue going forward. It really just depends how data-intensive your app is, I guess, is another way of saying it.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question from Dayaswaran Raman in DC Universal.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. One, what kind of ASM redundancy you picked? Is it high or normal?
High. Yeah, we went with high across the board. Basically, you know, because, again, it's an unmanned data center. We do have warm hand services from European nationals that can go in there and swap a drive out, but I can't. If I have a drive failed today, you know, I don't know how long it's going to be before I can actually have someone on site and have that drive replaced. So we wanted to be safe rather than sorry.
Do you how do you plan to handle the storage growth if your databases are growing so fast and you run out of the 3.6 terabyte that comes with the ODA?
Yeah, so there's really, you know, our fallback position would be to procure some form of NAS and use NAS. That would be kind of a short term if it really happened overnight. You know, and we needed something really quick, we would move to NAS. And then obviously we'd be back to evaluating either continue down the engineered systems path and look at quarter rack Exadata or something similar like that, you know, depending on really what was driving the growth and how far we thought we'd need to go.
Okay. Do you have multiple databases running on the ODA with the multiple Oracle homes, or it's just one database with one Oracle home?
So it's multiple databases, but one home right now.
Okay.
So we have four databases on a single ODA, but they all share one Oracle home.
Got it. Thank you.
They're lockstep from a development standpoint. They move together, so we don't have any concerns around patching or anything like that.
That's kind of your standard, like you have a shared Oracle home. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
There are no questions at this time.
David, again, thank you so much. This was a great call. I hope it was beneficial to everyone that dialed in today. We appreciate your time, and again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's call. You may now disconnect.